You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Big Day, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host today. We have a co-host with us today. And co-host, are you there?
I'm here, everyone. This is Deanna Coe. So excited to be with you here today.
All right,
and go ahead, Big.
Oh, we're going to have a couple of great interviews coming up, but we have a gentleman here today who's going to blow you all out. Dion?
Absolutely, and I just want to let you all know who's going to be listening on a call, if you're listening live. This is the first time in a long time that I get to co-host with Big, and I'm so excited for this opportunity. And so we're going to do a lot of back and forth. We may bump heads, so be prepared for that. But we'll be responsible for it and make sure that you guys hear clearly what we're saying and what we're up to and what we're creating with our special guest today. And I say our special guest because I met this brother back in 2007, and I was blown away from the first time that we met. And we both met because we both were authors, and it just, we shared a lot of our storylines with each other. We inspired each other, and to have him on the show today, because he released a book that we were working on back in 2007, this is just an honor and a privilege for me to introduce Mr. Loring Barrington, the author of Karma Club. So welcome to the show, Lawrence.
Thank you very much for that introduction. You made me proud. But how you doing? My name is Lawrence Barrington, author of the Karma Club. I appreciate all your support. First of all, my contact information on my website is usagainsttheworldenterprises.com. That's usagainsttheworldenterprises.com. You can go to my website, read my synopsis, read something about me, and you can also order my book, The Karma Club. And my number is 310-617-9621. I repeat, 310-617-9621.
Awesome for that information. Great, great, great. And we're going to also give that information again at the end of the show, maybe in between, depending on how it goes. But I'm ready to just jump right in. You ready, Big?
Oh, yeah. I have a whole lot of questions for Mr. Darrington tonight. And one of the questions that we like for our listeners to hear is about you, your life. I mean, what did you do before the book? You come from a large family, small family. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, as far as I can remember, I can go all the way back. People that know me personally might not even know this, but I was born in Panama City, Coca-Cola Hospital, Canal. So my father was in the military. My mother was Panamanian. We married him, had two kids, me and my brother. As we went to Vietnam, we were sent over here to America. We was in New York City. My mother was young. I don't know why, but she was young. And she left me and my brother in New York City Central Park with a note pinned to my shirt. And my note said, my name is Lawrence Darrington, and I am 2 years old. And I need to go to this address. Red Cross picked us up for 6 months, then we went to stay with my grandmother in Phoenix, Arizona, till my father came home from the Vietnam War. When he picked us up, we moved to California. I was 13 years old, and that's when my life really began. Any more questions?
Wow, what a beginning.
That was an adventure in itself, to be that young and just not be taken advantage of, you know, at that age, being a child, which really is good to lead into your book, The Karma Club. Can you tell us a little bit about The Karma Club?
Yes, but before I say that, I want to say one more thing. So as I grew up, become a young man, I was passed through school from elementary to high school, not knowing how to read. I didn't, true story, until I went to prison. And when I went to prison, that's where I cultivated the things I thought I hated, disliked the most, were the things I was the best at. And I got my GED in jail, some college courses got out. But that's where it started. I started writing because I wanted mail. You know, because when you hear your name called in prison and you get a letter, it's a feeling that you can't even imagine. You're happy, proud. And everybody's looking at you. And I knew to get mail, I had to write some mail. So, and I wasn't too good at reading or writing. So I started reading. I started writing all these letters to everybody I knew. And I started getting all these mail. And then I started writing stories, little short little stories about me or how we treat a woman or whatever. And it cultivated and elevated. And it just cultivated into a whole new life. And I just started really writing. Once I started writing stories, I said, I can write a book. Now I can write a novel. And that's where it started.
Awesome. And before we get into Karma Club, I definitely want to know, and thank you for sharing that, because that leads into what I really want to know about you. I know that often writers, it's a gift that's inside of you, and it's a passion for it, and it also comes from reading. I know that for certain as a writer myself. So which writer inspires you the most, Lawrence?
The first book I ever read, from cover to cover, from page to page, mm-hmm. Alex Haley, Roots.
Come on.
I was so to the characters. That's when you know what reading is all about. When you put yourself in the character and what the character is feeling, or what he feels, whether it's sad, happy, whatever, you're going to feel it. You can read a good book and it'll make you cry. And I wanted to do just like that. I wanted to make my words come to life and just reach out and touch somebody, grasp somebody, and make it different. And when they put my book down and turn that last page, I wanted to say, damn.
I got it. So now, there's a lot of individuals who must go through a lot and step out of whatever comfort zone they're in to put out a work of fiction. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay.
But you get different ideas and you get passion from different places. And mine came from dreams, and that's how the Karma Club came about. I had a dream one night, and I woke up, and at that time I turned to my first two kids' mother, and I asked her, have you been raped? And she looked at me, she paused, she hesitated. I was like, why you ask me that? I said, I don't know. She walked away. 2 weeks later, she walks up to me and said, yes. But at that time, I didn't know what she was talking about. And I said, yes, what? He said, yeah, I've been raped. I said, you have? By who? She said, the guy next door when I was 16 years old. I said, what happened? I told my mother and his mother's best friend, I never seen him again. And that's the last thing I heard. And then she just looked at me and walked away, and I felt a sense of sadness. And you never know what a woman goes through dealing with such a thing. So I just thinking, I went to sleep. I woke up the next day. I started cultivating the story in my mind. And I started writing. That's the birth of the Karma Club. That's what it's about, and that's where it started.
Excellent. Now give us an insight into your main character. What does he or she do that is so special?
The main character in my book was Dr. Renee Lewis. She grew up in a good home. It was poor, and a good father, strong father. Her mother, same as well. But she had a lot of things to deal with growing up in the ghetto. But she knew she didn't want, she knew that wasn't her place. She knew she didn't belong there. She knew she stood out from others. So she studied hard, worked hard. She believed in her heart, and her father stood right behind her, that she could do better and be better. And she became a doctor, not just any doctor. She became a neurosurgeon. She was at the top of her class, and the people she used to give, they used to give her lectures, she would give a lecture to them later on in life.
Okay, got it. And Renee Lewis, does Renee Lewis actually exist in your life?
Well, she was a character, and it's a Renee Lewis and a lot of black women. You know, and she just had so much passion in life. And, you know, when she would do her operations, every operation she did, and that was very successful, she didn't even take the glory. She stepped back, closed her eyes, and thanked God. And it was him who helped her.
I got it. So Renee Lewis is a spiritual woman. She's that educated woman, right?
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I got it. All right, excellent. So what was your intention for creating this project?
Well, when I had that dream, and it just, like I said, it took on a life of its own, I just had this burning feeling in my stomach to just be very inquisitive. So I started asking every woman that I talked to, that I bumped into, if I was uncomfortable, but they wondered why I wanted to know, and I asked them, have you ever been raped? A couple of women told me, yeah, a lot told me no, but the ones that told me the story, I just sat there and I shook my hand, and I was like, wow. I mean, pit of my stomach, it just bothered me. And I knew I wanted to finish this story, and that's what I wanted to write about. It's about what a woman really goes through. And I have to share a story with you that I went to a church one day, and this guy was this was right before I pushed my book out. And he said, I got somebody that my pastor can help you publish this book. And I said, yeah. So I let him read it. He liked it. And after he read the book, he looked at me and he said, this is a good book. I want to help you publish this book. I said, fine. He said, but you have to change it around. I said, what do you mean change it around? You have to change it around where you can implement some redemption. And I looked at him, and I hesitated and said, what do you mean redemption? Because redemption is not the first thing that comes to a woman's mind when she's dealing with such an atrocity. It's not forget about it. No, put it in God's hand, that is not the first thing that comes to the woman's mind. I'm not to say I know automatically, but I'm pretty sure that's not it. It's either revenge, death, something to get this man back. And that's where it went, and that's where it led. And I want to be able to say, you know, it's time to teach our young boys growing up that really no really means no. It really do. You know, a woman got the right to say no, yes, but you have to respect her right. And harassment, because harassment is the first part of rape.
I got it. So the intention is not actually for the women that was impacted by this story. The intention is for the man. And the men that won't say no.
Well, I wrote for the women because I truly believe that 90% of all our readers are more women because they really make the time to read and educate their mind and expand. You know, men read, but we rather watch a movie. So, but I want the men to know, too, that this does happen. And, you know, we all have to take the responsibility to teach our sons growing up, you know, realistically what can happen, the pros and the cons, the good and the bad. You know, it's about, you know, each one teach one. Because at the end of the day, to be a man, you have to be a man.
Mm-hmm. I got it. I'm going to go back on something that you just shared with us when you said in the interviewing process of the creativity of this book, the creation of this project, you interviewed a lot of women and asked them a question, have they ever been raped? My first question about that is, were they offended when you asked?
Some of them was, but I told them what I was doing, and some of them kind of opened up to me. Because sometimes it's easier to talk to a stranger than your best friend, because he don't have nobody to tell or even know who you know. So it's like an outlet event. So at the end of the day, and after I had that conversation, I can remember a couple of women, like, smile, like they got it off their chest.
Okay. Okay. No, and then my second point. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that.
My second question,
uh-huh.
Big. Big. I'm sorry. See, this is what I was telling you guys about. Me and Big on tag each other. Big. I'll go ahead and let you get it.
No, it just made me think about when we had conversations earlier. How sometimes it may be in the back of their head, or they forget about it, and then when you ask them this question, it kind of jolts them because they actually try to, you know, put it past them after a while. Mm-hmm. Or they just, you know, they just totally forget. And then something could happen, you know, years later, especially, you know, young women who have been, you know, molested as children, that it'll all come back and they never know.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, wow, it was just so far back in their life. So to even, you know, bring that forward, I could see how it's a real relief for them to talk about it, especially those who may have never talked about it.
Yeah.
Right. As a woman, I'm not certain how I haven't been in that situation. And so I don't know what the impact would be on me if I was asked that question. But what I'm really interested in knowing, did you do the same thing with the man? Have you asked a man, hey, have you ever raped someone? I mean, I don't know if they would admit that or not, but did you find out any stories about what's on the other side of that in men?
Well, when it comes to men, like I said, it's a See, men, I think it's more of a deeper and a darker taboo, and it's harder to get something like that out of a man because at the end of the day, they still want to feel like they're a man. I mean, and in prison, I mean, it was like normal for some of them guys, you know, but once you're on the street, nah, they would never talk about it. I haven't met one person that openly talked about it or even shared it with me, and I don't even think that's a question I would even ask the man. It's not like a fight coming.
Okay. I'm charging you, Lawrence Barrington, with that. You know, go visit the prisons and see if you can actually get the story out of people, because some men may be open to releasing what the women get the opportunity to release.
Well, I understand. In part two, I was going to open up that can of worms.
That's right. I love it. I mean, open up the entire can and have a conversation about it. What so? If we really want to get to, you know, the root of the problem, that's where it begins, man, going in places that, you know, people don't want you to go.
That's true. Very true.
That's right. I love it. I love it. Transforming that area will be so important. It could definitely impact all communities.
And I can see just like how you mentioned that is a challenge to get men open up that way, you know, because of the exact same things that you just spoke of. But what challenges did you have when you, once the book was finished and you had to get it out into the public's eye?
Okay, now that was a challenge. Well, I originally wrote this book in 2003, so this book has been a long time coming. And I like to say thank you, Dion, because it was on the shelf. And I told her about it, and her eyes just kind of just went wide. And she just, you need to finish that book. You have to finish reading this book. I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I really wanted to do it. I had just so much going on in my life. So I rewrote it again in 2008, and then in 10, I did it again. And then right before I got ready to put this book out in 2014, I told myself, I'm going to put this book out this year. I'm not going to do nothing else but put this book out. I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm going to put this book out. I made a promise of myself to do that, and I did just that. So right before I put this book out, a young lady who helped me rewrite my whole book, Melina Jazze West, got to give her a props, she said, you need to read this book. I said, what? When was the last time you read your book? I said, I don't know, 8 years ago. She said, reread the book. I said, all right. So I reread the book, and I realized it was almost outdated. The things that we said back then, I mean, we're saying something different now. So we looked over it, and I rewrote the book. I had some words in it that I shouldn't have had in there, you know. And I took them out. I took all the words out, and I changed it up. I upgraded, brought it up the car. And then my next challenge was editing. So I talked to a couple of editors, and the prices was ridiculous. I didn't know it was just that much to charge to edit a book. So I met this lady. She had about 3 or 4 books out, and she gave me some game. She sat me down, and she told me exactly what to do, and I did just that. And this is some game for you. And I went to the college, and I found me somebody who had a major in English, journalism, at least 4 people. I had this person edit it for me, and I had this person edit, and I had this person edit for me, and I had a teacher that was interested in what they were doing. He edited it for me. So at the end of the day, I spent only maybe lunch and maybe $150 to get my book edited.
Wow.
And that's
you know, what I like about that is a lot of entrepreneurs out there that, you know, may not want to pay a certain price or have a certain, you know, income level or limit that they're dealing with. They don't realize that when you've got a great idea, that there's people actually standing in line to help you out. And you always have something that you can offer.
Something
that you can offer in return. And if more people thought about that, you know, everything else would come, because I'm sure that you worked for free for a long time before you started to make any profit.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did it myself. And I published it myself. because it can be done. Just believe in the dream, know what your goals are, and never give up.
Got it. So I have a question in regards to the book. What do you want your readers to take away after reading your book? And then I'll share what I got, what I actually took away after reading the book.
I want my readers to take the fact that the subject I'm speaking on is the subject that a lot of people don't like to speak on. You know, like sexual harassment is a part and something that leads to rape. So whether it's in the office place or in the home, something needs to be done. We need awareness. We need to teach our boys and our girls, you know, how to sit, how to talk, how to just not to just talk to anybody. You know, so a lot of it goes along with this, and we can all help out. Take the whole village to raise a child. So we can do this together. And I want everybody to read this book, pick it up, and understand that where I'm going, the direction I'm going, three parts is going to be a trilogy, and we can do this together. I appreciate everybody helping us. Thank you.
Got it. So one of the things I definitely want to share to everyone out there who's thinking about reading the book, has already read the book, who is a fan of Mr. Darrington like I am, one of the things I took away with the book, and Lawrence, I want to thank you for taking this subject, that impacts all communities. No community misses this particular subject. There's rape in all communities, but you brought light to it. I wouldn't say you brought entertainment to it, but you made it easy to read about, okay? And it shines a light on how strong women are and how we do hold back certain conversations that need to be brought to the forefront. And you started thinking about that girlfriend or that sister or that woman that you met that has been through this horrible ordeal and how she's coping with it. Because if there's something that you either cope with, you don't deal with, and it impacts you in other ways, or you take on so you can powerfully transform that area for yourself, and some women do, or you get revenge. And I'm not going to say anything about the book. I kept saying, how am I going to say this without giving away the story? Because I just want everybody to know, Lawrence kept, Dion, don't give away the book. And I won't give away the book, but it's an awesome read. And what I got from it is, you know, I got sisterhood, I got what women deal with, and just an inkling of, you know, the guy who did the raping, you know, what was there for him or what you didn't say about him that I actually picked up. And we'll talk about that offline, Lawrence. But it's a really great read. And the book leaves me with there's something bigger. And Lawrence actually shared. We're going to have him share about what's next for him in later on in the show. But, you know, it opens up a bigger conversation that's there, too. And it was just a great, great read. I didn't want to put it down. I was so excited to get to the end. And then I even went back and read some of my favorite parts. And it was a really well-written, great book. And I just enjoyed the entire story.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to your next project. I don't want to share about that now. I want to save that for later. But just for the people who have already gotten, we're halfway through the show, and I want you to share again about your information, where they can contact you at, but more importantly, where they can purchase the book at. And say it slowly this time. Last time you sped through it.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Good.
My name is Lawrence Darrington. My phone number is 310-617-9600. 21. That's 310-617-9621. Call me anytime. You have any questions, if you can't get to the website. But my website is Us Against the World, enterprises.com. Us Against the World, enterprises.com. You can go to my website, read my synopsis. You can also order the book. The books are $15. I appreciate it. You know, thank you very much.
Now, we've had a couple of callers that's been on listening for a while. Sometimes they have a comment or sometimes they just want to listen. So we have a caller here from the 626 area code with 200 as the first three numbers. Call, I'm going to put you on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Did you have a comment or a question? All right, so that person there didn't have anything to say, just wanted to listen.
But Big, is there something that they can do if a question comes up for them and they, you know, are burning to ask Mr. Darrington a question? Isn't it they press 1 to get your attention?
Yeah, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, because it doesn't just really tell them that over the air. So
okay.
Most of the time I'll just see the person, I'll go on, they'll come in, things of that sort. That person, I just wanted to listen, so.
Okay, got it. Okay, great. All right, Big, did you have anything else for Mr. Darrington before I plow through this?
Oh, definitely. I have a lot of different questions for him. So right now.
We're going to tag team you, Lawrence. We're going to tag team you.
Yeah. So what I'm looking at here is that over the course of this particular interview, you've mentioned the book that you have now, and then you've mentioned possibly some different books that are going to be coming up along the same line. So how are you going to, you know, build your brand? What's your strategy for making sure that, you know, this gets all of the acknowledgement and, you know, the accolades that it should get? Because just from, you know, hearing about it and talking with you earlier, you know, I can see a really big future for this. So what are you going to be doing as far as building that brand?
Well, I'm giving it all I got. Wherever I fit in, I'm going to get in. I'm going to shake hands, kiss babies, and I'm going to keep pushing it. You know, I have about 13 books. I have 7 that's almost finished. And I like to write on different types of subjects. But this subject, I just felt like had to come out first. Because it don't put me in the position to where, like, you know how some people get stuck with writing gangster stuff or they think that's all you know how to write. I just didn't want the people that feel like they not ready to live with society feel like it's just for them. Yeah, I wanted people from all walks of life, you know, from the streets to the suites. I want educated women to pick my book up and read it. Okay. I want everybody to put it in their hands, you know. I don't want nobody to get left out. And that's going to be my market, everybody, universal people.
Okay. Now, what would be the biggest advice or quality you could share with our audience that helped you the most?
Quality, never giving up. You have to be a people's person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying it's a rainbow at the end of the road, but you have to be a people person. You're going to have good days and bad days, person, and learn people and talk to them. You have to, at the end of the day, you need to do more listening than talking, because you learn a lot more. My father used to always say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to meet people from all walks of life. You know, I don't consider myself better than anybody. I mean, I can maneuver in the ghetto, and I can go to Beverly Hills. I know how to talk, and I can represent myself on both levels.
You know, I can't wait to get my hands on the book and read it. Normally, I'll have the book, you know, beforehand, but, you know, this all seemed to have happened so fast. But I'm definitely looking forward to reading your book and also marketing you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. From the bottom of my heart, brother. And you too, Dion.
So I know you've been going around to a lot of different bookstores and doing signings. How's that been coming along?
Well, I was having, when the book first dropped, I thought it was kind of easy to put your book into the bookstore. So I went to a couple bookstores, and I want my book from page to page, from cover to cover, and I published it myself. So it was kind of hard for me to just believe that to go to a bookstore, they would automatically ask for 50%. Or 40%. I was like, that's a lot. That's a lot when you're not doing any advertising at all. I'm doing all the advertising, the footwork. I'm getting the people to come to the store to buy the book. and you just hold it on your shelf. So I started doing it myself. I sold 300 books by myself on the internet and just going to beauty salon, going to stores, going to the mall. Wherever I go, I take my books and I talk and I speak up. And I truly believe that that's the market, word of mouth. That's the best advertising in the world. Just never give up your fight.
I beg the difference. First off, that is straight hustle and entrepreneurship if I ever heard it. What about you, Big?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I admire him because a lot of people, they just think that they'll either give up or say, well, I'll just take 10%, and you do 90 just to get out there. And just to not really, decide to take such a big cut with all the work that you put in, is great. Now, I also understand that they were even talking that some of the people who got wind of the book was even reviewing it as far as a play or a movie or something.
Yes, I have a friend of mine, Greedy Greg. He was in the music business back in the day, but now he wants to do movies. He came looking for me. He said, "Man, you finished your book?" I was like, "Yeah." He said, "We need to talk. We about to get a deal. We about to do something. We about to make some magic." He just told me, be patient. He's going to get some funding,
Right.
I believe in myself. He believes in me, and I appreciate everybody else to do. I mean, someone asked to buy this book a couple years ago. I told him no. As long as I can pay my bills, pay my rent, take care of my kids, I believe in this book, and I'm going to stand behind it. I'm going to go all the way to the end. I'm going down with the ship.
Don't go down. Don't sink, Lawrence. Don't sink. We won't
not
even speak that upon you because we're talking about soaring, right?
Right. Yes.
I'm going to speak positive on everything. I hear when somebody says sink or shut, that's not going to happen. And thank you for sharing what you shared because it does take a lot of work when you have your own project and you don't really want to have anyone else take it over. So I admire you for that. Respect your hustle, and you use social media to the fullest extent. And I love that about you because social media is just free marketing for whatever you're up to. So take a page from Lawrence's book and jump on it. Get out there. Promote your own stuff. You're your own best marketer. And so now you, Lawrence, I want to touch back on what Big asked you before, but you didn't get a chance to actually answer the question, is what's next? What's next for you?
Well, I have a couple more books I want to put out. I'm going to finish.
I heard 13 books, seven almost finished. Tell me about the next.
Yeah, because, I have a couple people call me and say, when are you going to put out part two? I'm like, part one hasn't been out a month yet. Give me some time, And I want to do part two. I want to be going to be part three to it too. But I want the people to just want to get in a lot of hands first. I want you to anticipate it. I want your mouth to water. I want you to hear: is it out? Is it coming out? Is it soon? I want you to want it, and you're gonna get it. And when that come out, you'll be ready. I got another book I'm working on right now called Easter Sunday. Good book. I got another book coming out. I'm almost finished with Secret Games, Millionaire's Play. These are all projects that I just sit down. Sometimes I write and I get writer's block, but I just stop, put down that book and pick up another book and start writing something else.
Wow.
Never give up.
Great.
I might write three books at one time, because you can write. And then if you're a writer, you know what writer's block is. It's when you ain't got no more to give. You're just almost stressed out. Maybe that's not what you're trying to give at that. Pick up another book. And I said, oh, okay, this is a good idea. And I start writing about this. You always got something to give. Give to you, ain't got nothing else. But it's always something to give.
And I think that's a good writer's block cure. Just pick up something else and start working on it. That's something like they also say when it comes to love. A little joke I put in there.
you already know. I'm like, did he just say that?
Well, but we don't really think about things like that. And that's the first time that I've ever heard something that dealt with writer's block because writers, we always get it. Let's put it that way. And, that's a cure. You don't have to really work on one, but, just make sure that you know what your priority one is, and go back to it. But, yeah, that was a really good remedy there.
Thank you.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So one of the things I want you to share with everyone, tell us about this Karma Club fan club.
Okay, when I first published the book and I put it online, Facebook, my cousin, he's like, oh, I like this book. She was so happy when she received it in the mail. You know, everybody was basically taking a picture that bought the book and that posted to my wall on my Facebook. So you go up and down my Facebook and see everybody that bought the book, you know, showing their support and holding up the book. Some people are covering up their faces because, oh, my hair is not done. And I just say something like, welcome to the Karma Club, or some of the Karma Club members will never be, you know, identity will never be known. So, you know, it's just going, and it's on fire, and everybody's enjoying it, loving it, and helping me and participating. And the Karma Club fan club, you know, it's like a secret group on my page. And once you get the book, and that makes you part of the group, and then you can go in there and you can go back and forth and say what you like, if you don't like it. But everybody's liking it. I'm getting nothing but positive feedback, and they loving it.
Excellent, excellent. And how can someone join the fan club?
First, they have to buy the book. You have to buy the book and read the book. And then once I know that, because I know who bought the book, I got all the books. So when you buy it, sometimes people call me like, oh, I want you to sign the book. I said, well, I'm going to sign it because I got all the books. Nobody else got the book. So, you know, when you send it and PayPal text me, I got it. I'm going to pull the book out, and I'm going to write it, I'm going to sign it, I'm going to say something special for you because I really, truly appreciate your support. Thank you very much for everybody that supported me. And welcome to the Karma Club.
That's great marketing right there alone. I've seen a lot of for the web where a lot of people have taken pictures with the book in hand. You know, all different types of people
from all walks of life.
That's great.
I'm so great. Have you on here. I really see just big things happening for you. And, you know, we have people that call in and people that listen in a little bit later during the show. So let's get your contact information out again and, you know, how they can reach you and the exact websites to go to in order to purchase.
Yes. Once again, my name is Lawrence Anthony Darrington. That's if you want to add me on Facebook. My number is 310-617-9621. That's 310-617-9621. My website address is usagainsttheworldenterprises.com. That's usagainsttheworldenterprises.com. All one word. Make it happen.
All right. I'm just saying, we do also have some other people. The clock's kind of running down, so I want to see if this next person is from the 704 area code, 704-649. So, caller, if you do have a question, of course, ask. If you have a comment or if you're someone that's read the book, please let us know. So I'm going to put you on. All right, so that's the 704-649 area code. You're on.
Well, hello there, Big. This is Angela.
Hi, Angela. How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. I don't have a question. I came in late, and so I have no idea what the book is about or anything, but I wanted to stay on and listen and hope that perhaps some more comments were made regarding what it's about. So now I just wrote down the information. I'm just going to get the book. I have to find out what it is.
So, you know you're going to have to take a picture with the book.
Oh. I have to take a picture with it. Okay.
Mandatory.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good deal then. But yeah, so yeah, I'm going to get the book. Yeah. How do I go about getting it?
You can order it at usagainsttheworldenterprises.com. That's usagainsttheworldenterprises.com.
Right. Okay. Okay. I got it.
Great. All right. So I really hate some of the interviews. You know, we used to actually do 30 minute interviews, and it seemed like the minute you would catch your breath, it was over. And even at 45 minutes, it's still, you know, cutting it real close as far as, you know, you're just kind of really getting into it. We're going to be increasing the interviews and have at least, you know, 10, 15 minutes more talk time in the future. Did you want to thank anyone?
Yes, I do. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody who supported me and bought this book, and people that's going to buy this book, thank you very much for your support. If you know me personally, you know I'm really trying. I'm really trying to do better, and I'm going to do that. And I'd like to also thank Dion. And you said you started the fire, Dion, and I appreciate you, and I thank you, and I love you. And, you know, without you, I'd probably be still on the show. Also, I'd like to thank Melina, Jazze, Wes. She helped me. I couldn't have finished it without her. And I also like to thank Donald Pearson. He was there when I needed him. He showed me everything I needed to do to finish what I need to finish. And he told me I was, and he did. And I thank you, Donald, from the bottom of my heart. Hey, brother, we're going to do this at the top. I'll never forget you.
Oh, great.
And thank you, Jacob Academy, on your show. Appreciate you, brother, man.
Thank you. It's not my show. It's our show. I just happen to, you know, take the time to make sure that people can get out what they're doing. Dion, did you have anything?
Absolutely, and you're so welcome, Lawrence, and I love you too. And, you know, I just want to commend you and acknowledge you from having the background that you have and stepping out on faith and believing in yourself, because that's not an easy thing to do, but believing in yourself and putting out this perfect piece of fiction. And it's an honor to have met you and to know you, and I wish you so much success in the future with this project and your upcoming projects and just everything you have going. And thank you so much for impacting the lives that you impact with your work.
Thank you, Dion. I appreciate it. You know, book signing coming up on the 12th.
Yeah, tell us about it. Tell us where, what time, what place. Talk to us.
Yes, it's in the city of Long Beach. If you're interested, I'm posting it on my Facebook page. That's Lawrence Anthony Darrington. Lawrence Anthony Darrington on my Facebook. Add me. I talk about it there. I give you the time, the place, you know, but it's on the 12th. The 12th is 5 o'clock in Long Beach, city of Long Beach. So, you know, thank you very much, and I can say shout out to Duke. I appreciate you.
Wait. Go ahead and give the address on air and slow down. We still got a little bit of time.
Oh, okay. Well, I got.
Do you have the exact address?
No, it's not on me. But you can call my number and get it at 310-617-9621. That's 310-617-9621. Call me. Tell me you want to go to this, and I'll give you all the information. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. ¶¶